الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعض فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So as you're aware, we, you know, when we have this gathering, we I'm usually speaking what's on my mind or what's going on around us at that time, and I think it's fairly obvious that the dominant theme that's in my mind is the fact that this building has approach some degree of completion. As you're aware, it's not entirely complete. There's a few components that remain, but it's relatively downhill, and we're hopeful that we'll be able to clear those components in the next maybe 2 to 3 weeks, and then the building will be fully operational, inshallah. This building, as you're aware, doesn't arise from the effort of any one person. In fact, I was kind of reflecting on this earlier today, in that it's been many, many years of a concerted effort that has eventually allowed us to reach this point. And this point is just merely a milestone on many, many steps that, inshallah, we'll be taking forward. I was, one of the things that, because we were setting up the website to place the prayer times, and, you know, we had to redesign, put it this way, because there's a building, we had to redesign the website a little bit. So when there's a redesign of the website, I get sent the different changes that are being made, and I get a chance to review those changes in the context of what's going on. And so I started reviewing the entire site, and I happened to click on the general talks page where essentially all of our Friday talks are present, Friday and Sunday talks are present, and I noticed that the first talk was roughly 2001. And maybe there were a few talks even before that, because I don't remember if we were even recording at the very, very initial gatherings. I remember when there was one and two people present, but I don't remember whether we were recording at that time. So obviously, this milestone of the building, this is not something that has just come out of thin air. This is something that's built and predicated upon so many years of effort by so many different people, so many different du'a, etc. And of course, there's a finite window in which the building was active. You know, there was a period of time in which we made an announcement that, inshallah, we're going to pursue a building, or people were thinking about the possibility of pursuing a building. And then there was obviously a initial planning phase and a fundraising phase and a construction phase and eventually an opening phase, which is happening, you know, today. But this is the effort of a whole bunch of people, of a whole bunch of people. And what allows this to occur is the abilities of people. A lot of people many people took their abilities and applied it to a goal, which, let's say the greater goal is deen. One fruit of that is a building, another fruit of that is a website, another fruit of that is all of the different things that have happened over the years. And a lot of people took their abilities and applied it in different ways. For example, I mean, there's an individual who's sitting and managing the website or managing the talks, or people who are making dua, or people who just drive by and are excited. And, you know, even I can tell you, I mean, there were days where we were dragging our feet in the mud, and literally in the mud, you know, and somebody comes by and is excited about the building, and it just energizes everyone and it makes us move on, you know, to the next step, which sometimes felt very distant. So this is actually a collective contribution. There's no one individual or even a handful of individuals that led to this milestone. This is an effort of a whole bunch of people, many of whom maybe we don't even know about, and some whose efforts may be a little more obvious, but in the end, it's a community effort. In the end, it's a community effort. This effort is built upon our abilities. This effort is built upon our abilities. There are people in this room who had the ability to set up a website, or people in this room who had the ability to dig a hole in the ground, or people in this room who had the ability to look at a light and decide where it should go, or think about where an outlet should be, or think about how the building should be set up in the way that would be most conducive to the spiritual benefit of the community, et cetera, et cetera. And ability is something that allows people to get very far. And in this day and age, there's a lot of premium placed on ability. You'll see that, I don't know, I was just reading that, you know, when they have these athletes and they want the athletes to be able to apply themselves in a sport, they have all these tests to determine their abilities. They put them through all these machines like, you know, strength and flexibility and endurance and rapidity of the muscles to flex. And so they assess all of their abilities, and then based on their abilities, they make a determination of whether this person's going to have any potential at the next level up, whether that be collegiate or whether that be professional. So ability is a major theme in the day and age in which we live. You know, somebody takes an SAT, based on their SAT, they make a prediction of this person's ability to succeed in various universities, and then based on that score, you may or may not gain admission to a particular university. What they're really gauging by that SAT is what they perceive to be ability. What Muslims recognize, however, is that along with ability, what Muslims recognize is that along with ability, there's something that is more important, and that is acceptance. Muslims, recognizing the importance of ability, also recognize that along with ability or beyond ability, there's one more important characteristic which actually supersedes ability, and that is acceptance. In Arabic, it's interesting because in Arabic, the words are very similar. So the ulama, they like to discuss this. You know, the scholars like to discuss this. And the terms that in the Arabic are, there's one term which basically is called qabiliya. Qabiliya means a person's ability, or it's a general term that refers to ability. And then there's qubuliya. Qubuliya is acceptance. So you can see these two words are very close. And so I'll just translate them into English, but you get the basic gist, which is that you need to not only to succeed, let me make this very clear, to succeed, it's not only ability, it's acceptance. Acceptance is essential to success. And of course, when we talk about acceptance, we're talking about the acceptance of none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person can be so able and may be able to produce the most amazing thing, and may be able to do the most amazing things. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept it, it goes nowhere. And sometimes people may have limited ability, but they may have just a desire. And because of that desire and intention and whatever ability they have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it, and a small thing can become something very big. The greatest example of this actually is present in the Qur'an. And it's highlighted and preserved in the Qur'an as an important reminder for all of us. And in particular, what I'm referring to is the ayah of the Qur'an, which refers to, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates the statements of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam at the time of the construction of the Kaaba. Now, what's very interesting about this circumstance, I mean, just imagine, there was a time when the Kaaba needed to be reconstructed. This is the house of Allah. I mean, every masjid on the planet is actually a branch of that. But that is the ultimate house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that house needed to be reconstructed. And that reconstruction of that house, was that responsibility was placed on the shoulder of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. It was placed upon those two individuals. And the details are not present in the Quran. you know, what brick was used, what rocks, what stone was used, what machinery was used, how was it done. I mean, machinery was different at that time, obviously. The technical details, which is, you know, in any construction project, the technical details are so relevant. The technical details are not present. What is present are the statements that they made after they concluded the reconstruction of the Kaaba. And it's a very, very involved discussion, and I don't want to get too detailed at this point. These are some things that we're going to talk about over the next several weeks. But what I want to say is that the very first statement that they make is the most telling. And it's narrated in the Quran, in the ayah that I was just reciting. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam raised the foundations of the Kaaba, along with Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, they made the following dua. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. O Allah, accept from us. Now, think about this background. Number one, they're rebuilding the house of Allah. But number two, it's being done by the most able person on the planet. The prophets are the most able people. They're the most intelligent. They're the most resourceful. They're the most motivating. I mean, you want to talk about ability? Ability is present in the prophets by definition. And it's not one prophet, it's two prophets. It's two prophets who have already elevated themselves by passing enormous tests. Enormous tests. And these two individuals, with their complete ability, squared, right? It's squared because there's two of them. I'm saying exponentially squared because it's two of them. These two individuals, as they're performing this particular act of worship and involving themselves in this particular deed, their fundamental request or their dominant thought is, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. That, O Allah, accept from us. Highlighting that even the most able people that came before us did not depend on their deeds, did not depend on their accomplishments, did not depend upon the people around them. They only depended and sought the acceptance, depended upon and sought the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's something that all of us have to ingrain, you know, as we think through this and as we have this opportunity to be able to celebrate this milestone and the many, many milestones that will come ahead. Look, life is full of milestones. This is just one. We get jobs, we get paychecks, we graduate from, you know, school, we get married, we have kids, we join communities, communities thrive, communities are productive, we're productive in our workplace. There's numerous accomplishments that we're going to, you know, be able to celebrate, inshallah, on an individual basis, on a family basis, on a communal basis. But regardless of the effort, regardless of the accomplishment, regardless of our abilities, the dominant theme always has to be that it is not me. It is only, success is only defined by the acceptance of Allah. I could be a billionaire. I could use my abilities to earn all the wealth in the world. But if I'm not accepted by Allah on the day of judgment, all of that is wasted. I could be the smartest person on the planet. I could be able to solve the most complex equations and I could win two Nobel Prizes. But without Allah's acceptance, all of that's wasted. In the end, everything is predicated upon the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that we have to appreciate at every milestone, major, minor, whatever it might be. We never attribute to ourselves. I mean, look at the statements of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. They don't attribute to themselves. They don't say, we did this and we did that and I did this and I did that and so this. No. They're not attributing at all to themselves when they could have. They could have easily said, we survived this test and succeeded in that test and performed this and did that and we've served you in this way. No, that's not the sign of the people of piety. It's the opposite. The people of piety know that no matter what they produce, It's still never going to be worthy of being presented to Allah. Because what can a human being ever produce that would be worthy of the creator of all of human beings? What could a person on the planet ever do that would be worthy of the one who created the whole universe? It's from both sides. You know, and you understand, the people of piety understand both sides of the equation. They recognize that they have abilities, but those abilities are relatively limited. And they know that Allah is alone in His perfection. Allah is alone in His grandeur, in His greatness, in His magnificence, and that nothing can ever be associated with Him. So this is the dominant notion that all of us should have in our minds today. We have to beg that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this from us. This is a very important milestone because every person here made a contribution, whether that be physical, and I know many of you, I see the faces, we're here, you know, physically putting in effort, whether that be financial, many of you here put in $1, $10, $1,000, whatever it might be, whether it be emotional, where you just were so excited about the building that you energized the product, the project, whether it be through your du'as, all of that is all contribution to this building. And this is the house of Allah, and people will pray here, inshallah, you know, we make du'a until the day of judgment. This is going to be a continuous reward for everyone that made those contributions, whatever they might be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not oblivious to any of it. He sees all and hears all and knows all and has accounted for all. Everyone's contribution here is a milestone and is an opportunity for something much bigger. But, and that's the key thing, but only if it's accepted by Allah. But only if it's accepted by Allah. So that is the notion that all of us should carry here today. Yes, I understand that there is a celebratory mood, which is natural. It's part of human nature. We should celebrate, and we need those opportunities to celebrate. And that drives us to the next effort, which then, inshallah, will allow us to celebrate something bigger and better in the future, inshallah. But we should also remember that the people who came before us, who were far more able, when they completed their tasks, they didn't rely upon their abilities. And they didn't rely on listing their accomplishments or achievements. They humbled themselves before their Lord, recognizing that in the end, it's only of value if it's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They humbled themselves before their Lord, recognizing that it's only of value if it's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should be the dua that everybody should make today. Now, there's many other du'as that are associated and that are actually narrated in the Qur'an at the time of the completion of the Kaaba, which, again, I don't have the time to go into today. But we'll talk about them as we move forward, inshallah, the next Friday or the Friday after. However, the dominant theme is this. Every person here made a contribution, and that contribution is yours until the day of judgment, and you will receive the rewards of that until the day of judgment, inshallah. With people praying here, and people changing here, and subhanAllah, I mean, you know, people joining us, it's, you know, I mean, that in and of itself is enough, subhanAllah. You know, there's nothing more I could say after that. But we need to make sure that we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accept. Honestly, that's my fear. You know, yes, it's important to celebrate. Yes, it's important to be able to sort of take a deep breath and say, Alhamdulillah, you know, we can check this off that we're done. But in the end, if Allah doesn't accept it, what was it? 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 8 years of sweat. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it, then we didn't do enough. And we have hope. We have hope in Allah's mercy, obviously. And this is a time and place in which, you know, a little effort is accepted and goes a very long way. But if the people before us, and namely the prophets before us, felt the need to seek acceptance at the time of expressing their ability, then who are we? Far less able and far more in need. Far less able and far more in need. So, you know, when you get a moment, I know that there's a lot of, you know, there'll be rush here, and then in a shop prayer, there'll be even more rush. And when you get a moment, sit down somewhere in the corner of this building and reflect on the building, reflect on the milestone, and really just beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accept this from us, that He make it a source of guidance for us, that He make it a source of benefit and reward in both this life and the next, that He make it a place where we can change our lives, where our children and families can develop and attach themselves to deen, and that from this place He develop a group of individuals that will be able to carry deen forward in the future generations to come. Those are the major, you know, the major du'as made at the time of the construction of the Kaaba, and those du'as are as relevant today. In fact, they're relatively more important, but they're as relevant today as they were at that time. وَآخُرَ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ